Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented by BetOnline.ag. Use that glorious promo code PODCAST1 to get a 50% welcome bonus. Boom. He is Fran Duffy. You heard the guy, the sounder, the Philadelphia Eagles video guru, junkie extraordinaire, does such an unbelievable job. I've been thoroughly enjoying his written combine preview. But we're going to actually get the audio version of that here on this week's College Draft Podcast. We will break down the offensive players from a preview standpoint at the combine. Fran, of course, I mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles video scouting guru, whom you should follow on Twitter at FDuffy3. And you know what else? Just tell everybody you know about this podcast. I'm very proud of it. I think it's the best draft podcast out there because I think Fran is the best guy out there, and I want more people to listen to it. So please retweet it when Fran tweets it. Please retweet it when Bri does, at RTF Podcaster, me, at Ross Tucker NFL. If you're a Facebook person, just a like is good, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL, or just tell dudes about it, or dudettes, I don't care. Tell anybody about the College Draft Podcast. I think most of you know, but I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, bunch of podcasts. Had a great interview with Willie Colon yesterday, talking to him about Antonio Brown, as well as just the difference between the cultures, having played a long time for both the Steelers and the Jets. I thought that was pretty interesting. But Fran, you did the offensive breakdown. We'll do the defensive breakdown of the combine next week. And you have a bunch of players in different categories. Now, we're not going to go over every player going to the combine in every category, but I do think it'd be good if you just laid out the categories and what they mean so that when I tee up on the different offensive positions, people have an idea of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, people love lists. We know that, right? So the way I kind of do these previews is I'll set along some superlatives. It's kind of like how I set up my Saturday scouting column in the fall. It's like, all right, I'm gonna set around some categories. We'll kind of fill some players in each category. Top pick, just my number one guy, my favorite player on film coming into the week. The workout warrior, which is usually a negative connotation, Ross. I usually just have it for the guy that's just going to rip up the athletic testing. So we're talking, you know, 40, the jumps, the shuttles, the athletic portion of testing at the combine. Trust the tape is a guy that, look, he may not test like a freak show, but the film says the guy's a great football player. So I'm not going to knock him for a guy for a bad athletic workout because I'm not expecting him to have one. And we'll get into some of the guys that might fit that criteria. Stopwatch shocker is just someone that I think is going to test better than a lot of people think. Maybe people he's just kind of off the radar, or people think he's a bad athlete, and I think he'll test better. We'll kill the drills. Somebody that's going to do a really good job, not on the athletic portion, but on the or they may do well in the athletic portion, but also, you know, when they do the position-specific drills. So, you know, bag drills for defensive linemen and, you know, the obviously the throwing the gauntlet for pass catchers, you know, just things like that, you know, where they're going to do well in those drills. Most approved is a guy, look, it might be weigh-ins, it might be the medical, it might be interviews, just whoever has the most to prove going into this event. Most productive college player, kind of, you know, that kind of speaks for itself. Best pro comparison. To me, that's a guy that, look, pro comps are always difficult, but sometimes they can be really easy and they hit you really quickly. So whoever I felt was kind of the easiest pro comparison, I went with them there. Best story is just, you know, all these guys have great background stories and really interesting, you know, upbringings and things like that. So try to fit one of those guys into there. Small school standout kind of speaks for itself. Somebody outside the Power Five conferences. And then the Philly connection, obviously a Philly guy, just anybody that's kind of, you know, connected in some way, shape or form to the city of Philadelphia or to the Philadelphia Eagles.
I love it, Fran. Let's dive right into it. Little Daddy Soda time, Bri.
Daddy's Sodas.
We will start with the quarterbacks. And let me just tell you, I think Kyler Murray will be a workout warrior. Now, I don't know, or no, maybe he's a stopwatch, whatever. I'm trying to understand your categories. I think he's a workout warrior. I don't think he's going to be a stopwatch shocker. I think people are expecting him to be unbelievable in terms of his running.
Yeah, I think that one is kind of, we don't know exactly what Kyler Murray is going to do yet at the combine. I mean, there were reports a couple weeks ago he may not even weigh in. Now, he's since then put out his statement saying that he's all in on becoming a quarterback. Hopefully that means, you know, he's not, going to hide behind any kind of curtain and say, like, all right, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. I'm interested to see what he decides to do at the combine. If he does everything, which I hope he does, remember, Lamar Jackson did not run last year. We'll see what Kyler Murray decides to do. If he does test, though, he's going to be unbelievable. And all the 40 and the shuttles across the board, I would expect that that his natural speed, his raw tools are really going to come into fruition there.
Who else from the quarterback standpoint jumps out to you or is clear as day in one of your categories that you want to talk about?
Yeah, sure. I think, to me, one guy that I think people are going to be surprised by how he tests is Drew Lock, because, we all know, all right, he's going to be impressive throwing the football. We know that. But we got to remember that this kid was a big time basketball recruit coming out of high school. He had offers from Mizzou, Oklahoma, Wichita State, some really good basketball programs. He had scholarship offers to go and play there. So, the guy's 6'4", he's 225. He moves very well on film. I would expect him to test pretty well here at the combine. So that would be a guy that I would expect to test pretty well as well. A lot of people would also throw in a couple of the, Jared Stidham, I would expect to test pretty well. Will Greer moves around pretty well. Easton Stick is a guy who's really athletic. I would expect him to test very well. So the quarterbacks, there are some pretty athletic kids. I'll be interested to see how a number of them test. I don't think that Dwayne Haskins is going to test super well, but I'm not going to be turned off by the fact that he doesn't turn in this great athletic performance. To me, watching Haskins, there's a lot of really good things about him on film. I think, when you talk about his timing and rhythm, his accuracy and ball placement and touch, I think are pretty good. He does need a lot of work with his lower body mechanics. That's an issue on film, something that he's got to work through. I know he said that in interviews left and right over the course of the last month or so is, I've got a lot of work ahead of me. So he obviously knows that. And I think one of the big things that teams will be looking at in those passing drills will be what are his lower body mechanics looking like? Because that was an issue with him at Ohio State. It's, something that a lot of guys face. Can he get those cleaned up? I think that's something that a lot of people will be looking for. After that, I think, everyone's just going to see what are these quarterbacks going to do? Are they going to come out and throw? Are all of them going to throw? We really haven't seen any reports, to dictate that they are not going to yet. But remember, we had that string where over a couple year span, a lot of the top passers weren't throwing in Indianapolis. So, is Daniel Jones going to throw? Is Drew Lock going to throw? Is Haskins and Kyler Murray, are all those guys going to throw? That will be the big question that'll get answered here over the next few days, I would imagine.
And you feel like, just reading your article, Frank, you feel like Daniel Jones is the top quarterback right now?
Just when I look at these guys and just how they play the position, I watched Daniel Jones. I watched 2-3 games before the Senior Bowl, just because I hadn't studied him yet, and he was a late addition. So I watched 2-3 games. I really liked him. And so then after the week of practice and seeing him throw, he didn't wow me in terms of how he threw the ball. He was the MVP of the game. But the week of practice, I thought he was solid, but nothing special. And then I was like, I'll watch 2 or 3 more. And so I watched a couple more. And again, I came away really liking him. I think when you look at Daniel Jones, he's a big kid. He's really accurate. He's got great touch. He's got great command of that offense at Duke. And it's, there's some pro style concepts in there. Not all full field progressions, but, you will see some full field progressions in the course of that offense. I was just really impressed with his mental processing, his competitive toughness in the pocket. I thought he showed really good poise under pressure, and his accuracy was really consistent. So, to me, I'm checking a lot of boxes with Daniel Jones and a lot of things that lead to successful quarterback play. Again, Is he the sexiest of these guys? You know, does he have the arm of Drew Locke? Does he have the athleticism of Kyler Murray? Does he have, the billing of Dwayne Haskins? Not necessarily, but, we'll see how the process unfolds. I still got a lot of work to do on these quarterbacks, but to me, they're all in a very similar tier. To me, I feel the best about Daniel Jones right now.
Anybody else at the quarterback position that we absolutely have to mention?
Yeah, I think, we can talk about Tyree Jackson because, with his arm, I think that a lot of people, that haven't seen him yet, they will be pretty impressed by how he throws it. I mean, you've seen him in person. The kid's a monster. He's an alien at quarterback. I mean, he's 6'7", a shade under 250 pounds. He's got an 82.5-inch wingspan, which is longer than any quarterback drafted in the last decade. I mean, the kid is just a condor back there throwing the football. So, I think people will be impressed with his physical tools. There are some issues he's got to work through as well. Sometimes, his ball placement and accuracy, not what you would like. He needs to throw with better anticipation as a passer. But Tyree Jackson, I think, will impress people with the way he throws the football.
Let's move on to running backs, Fran. It's interesting. Not a lot of buzz about this group of running backs. After the last couple of years with guys like Saquon Barkley and Leonard Fournette and Todd Gurley and others, it's kind of Christian McCaffrey. It's kind of quiet on this running back group. Who are some of the guys that, for your combine preview, stick out in some of your categories?
Yeah, I think, I won't get into all of them, but I think really my top guy is Josh Jacobs. And really with Jacobs, you're betting on the best football being ahead of him. And I think, the upside is really, really high there. People have asked me for comparisons, and I haven't been able to nail one down yet for Jacobs. A lot of people are making, the Alvin Kamara comparison just because of, his usage in college, and he was a backup. And I don't know that he's quite that dynamic, but I'll tell you what, he's a really natural receiver. In all areas of the field, he makes great adjustments to the football. He's a great special teamer. He's really tough. He's gotten better as a blocker throughout the course of the season. Had some great ones on film, where he's blocking defensive ends. His contact balance, his ability to make people miss, I thought was impressive. Sometimes he was a little bit indecisive approaching the line of scrimmage, and that's something I'd like to see him kind of clean up. But again, with him being more of a backup, more of a Robin to Damian Harris's Batman, it's understandable that he wouldn't get into the kind of rhythm that, obviously Harris or other guys have been able to get to, and he's still a very young player, just a redshirt sophomore, I believe, or a true junior. So, when you look at Josh Jacobs, I think you're betting on the future with him. Really, really impressive prospect and a guy that I'm really high on. Now, that being said, my guy in this class is Damian Harris, his teammate in Alabama, who's just got outstanding feet. I put him in my will kill the drills category, just because to me, I think he's got outstanding feet. He's got great feel in traffic. When they do all those different bag drills and things like that, I think Damian Harris is going to look really, really impressive in that arena. I'll be interested to see how he tests. I don't expect that he's going to light up the 40-yard dash. I don't think that he's going to really tear it up in terms of his overall testing. But I think when you look at Damian Harris, the football player, if I'm lining up to play right now, I think it's Damian Harris. Like if I need to play a game this Saturday or this Sunday, I'm calling number 34. So to me, I look at those two Alabama kids, and they're the two of the three that really, really intrigue me the most. David Montgomery from Iowa State certainly is a guy that I expect to be one of the first running backs off the board in this draft. That being said, I don't think he's going to test all that well. Ken, we talked about this. I made the comparison in the piece to Kareem Hunt coming out of Toledo. Montgomery, he makes his bones off of making that first man miss with wiggle, with contact balance. He's just got a natural feel as a runner. And I think, Montgomery, he's not a super explosive guy. He's not super twitched up, but just very slippery and very powerful. So I think when you look at this kid, I don't know that the numbers are going to be all that jaw-dropping coming out of the event. But this is a guy that I think is a really, really interesting player. But if we're talking about, all right, who are the guys that are going to light it up in the testing and the athletic portion, Devin Singletary from FAU has got a ton of juice. I think he led the country in touchdowns the last 2 years, over 50 times he's reached the end zone. Devin Singletary is explosive. He's really shifty. He's got outstanding lateral agility, that ability to jump cut, make guys miss. I've seen people make that comparison to LeSean McCoy, and I do see that in certain ways. I would say the same thing for Justice Hill from Oklahoma State, who I expect to test very well. Darrell Henderson from Memphis is really, really explosive. So when you're talking about running backs in the 40-yard dash, I would think, Singletary, yeah, but Henderson is a guy that, shades of Dalvin Cook in the way that he plays and just kind of his skill set. Henderson is a really explosive kid. So he would be a guy that I would keep an eye on to test very well next week.
Any other running backs that you have to mention before we move on to wide receivers?
Well, let me ask this question, because this was the first Penn State kid I mentioned in these preview pieces. That's Miles Sanders. And, you got to see Sanders, up close a number of times over the last couple of years. You first brought him up to me back in the summer, obviously preparing for the season. You had him taking over for Saquon Barkley. I listed him as my stopwatch shocker. And the number one reason why is because Penn State kids have just really just crushed the combine for the most part in the last couple of years. Whatever they're doing out there in Happy Valley, getting these guys ready, it's working, because they're whether you're looking at Saquon, who was just a freak show anyway, but guys like Mike Gesicki, have torn up the combine and others, at different positions. So you got to look at Troy Apke last year. They've had pass rushers come out test very well. I look at Sanders and I'm like, all right, no one's really expecting him to test all that great. That's one of my questions I do have about him, is his overall athletic ability. But, with his background and then also coming from Penn State, I kind of think that he might shock some people. Is that something that that you would be surprised by?
I would not be surprised if he tested well. He was the number one ranked running back in the country coming out of high school. He was 5-star. And usually if that's the case, you've got some pretty good measurables. He reminds me of I would talk about him as a trust the tape guy, in the sense that I feel like he's good at everything, just not outstanding at anything.
I would agree.
Yep. He's pretty good blocker. He didn't have nearly as many negative yardage runs as Saquon did. The problem is, when you watch anybody after you watch Saquon for 3 years, it's just different. They just look different. But, I think you could argue he had better vision than Saquon. He had very few negative yardage runs. His issues were ball security at times. He's good out of the backfield. He's pretty good as a blocker. I mean, he looks to me like a perfect third, fourth, fifth round pick that could – like he's skilled enough that he could be like your number two guy potentially. Almost like the way you feel about Damian Harris, that's kind of how I feel about Miles Sanders, where I just think he's solid in every aspect of his game. And if people don't think he's going to test well, yeah, I think he might test better than people think. But he's not. I don't think he's going to test like Saquon did. I don't think he's that kind of a burner, but we'll see. It'll be interesting. It's a good question. I'm very curious to see how he ends up testing for sure. What about, let's move on to the wide receivers, Fran. Major bummer about Hollywood Brown and the news about the Liz Frank surgery. I mean, that's, especially for a speed guy like that, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's something that he'll heal up, and we kind of know. Okay, Marquise Brown was going to run really well at the combine, so you can turn on the tape and watch one game of Marquise Brown and say, yeah, this guy's fast. They got to keep an eye on the injury, make sure that the rehab's going okay, and that he'll be back to full speed in the summer. But not something that is going to crush his draft stock, in my opinion, or anything. We'll see if it ultimately does, but. I think when you look at Marquise Brown, you kind of have an idea, a picture in your mind of the kind of receiver that he can be. I think his upside is as high as any of these guys. I mean, he's an outstanding route runner. He's explosive. He's really smooth in and out of breaks. He can track the ball down the field. He was really impressive on film. Now, he was my pick for workout warrior in that piece last week. So with him not working out, now I'm looking, all right, who are the guys that can stand out? And I did list a few players that I thought would test well across the board. Certainly Paris Campbell from Ohio State. He probably could have been the guy I would have gone with. If not, it would have been Mecole Hardman from Georgia. I think those two guys really are going to light up the track in terms of how they run and, you know, how they test in the shuttles and how they in the jumps and things like that. We've seen some reported numbers from Paris Campbell in the past, and if those hold up, he'll be one of the best testers at this event. Nyquan Murray from Florida State, certainly a player to keep an eye on. I was really impressed with the juice that he showed on film. Darius Slayton from Auburn is another guy who can fly. You question, all right, what, can he be a little bit more well-rounded? But if you're looking for a receiver that can run, Darius Slayton from Auburn certainly can bring that. Emmanuel Hall, probably a little bit further along, I would say, than Slayton is. Hall, to me, was one of the best seniors in the country at the wide receiver position this year. Really explosive kid. And those guys we're talking about from the SEC. Deontay Johnson from Toledo has generated a lot of buzz. He was a big-time return guy in the MAC there for Toledo. Alex Wesley from Northern Colorado, I've talked about in the past, guy that I think can work vertically, a really good vertical route runner. And then really, if we're going to dig into small school, let's go D2. Let's go to Malone University. It was shutting down their football program now. This was the last year for them. Ashton Doolin from Malone, 3-year starter there, actually led the entire country, all levels of competition, in all-purpose yards per game at the wide receiver position. So you're talking return yards as well. He ran hurdles at Malone and was a big-time track guy coming out of high school. So this is a guy that if you're looking for someone off the radar to kind of come in and, you know, run 4.39 or run 4.41, keep an eye on Ashton Doolin from Malone.
Yeah, and I would just say at the wide receiver position, you know, it's interesting that what you said about Malone for sure. That's a shame that they're losing their program. I also think I want to move on to the tight end position because I'm just sitting here thinking, is it fair to say, Fran, that the tight end position is the best of the offensive skill positions in this year's draft?
I think the receiver position has a lot of talent. There's probably more top end talent in terms of what we would classify as, like, you know, the big time starters, higher upside for the for their specific position at tight end. But wide receiver, there are a lot of really intriguing talents, and depending on what you're looking for, I think you'll find it. I mean, there's kids that, you know, can create their own separation. There's guys that can take the top off. There are big guys that can make plays outside the numbers. There's the small shifty slot guys that I got, you know, who I think will be effective and depending on their landing spots. So I do think that there's plenty of talent at receiver, but this is a great tight end group. This is a really, really impressive group of tight ends. Remember, we had that year, was it 2 years ago, where it was, you know, O.J. Howard and, you know, Evan Ingram, and it was like 3 or 4 guys in the first round. I to me, this is going to be one of those years. And, you know, the tight end, you're talking about Iowa. They've got the two guys there in Hockenson and Noah Fant. I spent a lot of the time late in the week last week watching this tight end group. And, you know, Noah Fant, he is a rare athlete for the tight end position. Like, here we're talking, you know, he's going to challenge all those numbers that, you know, were set by that class a couple of years ago. And just the way that he moves is really, really impressive. But I'll tell you what, too. I mean, it's easy to kind of pigeonhole those two guys and say, oh, well, Fant is the pass catcher and, you know, Hockenson's the blocker. Look, Fant, they lined them up, you know, right next to each other sometimes in like those closed formations, like YY formations to the boundary, and they'll run both of them vertically down the field. And Fant, like I said, special, rare speed for the tight end position. Hockenson at times was like stride for, not, I want to say purely stride for stride, but he did not look slow running alongside Noah Fant. So Hockenson, I think, is going to test really, really well too. So I think when you look at those two guys, Dawson Knox from Ole Miss is a really, really impressive athlete. Jace Sternberger from Texas A&M, a really impressive athlete. Irv Smith Jr. from Alabama, this kid moves really, really well and is probably the best route runner from the entire group. I was really impressed with some of the things he did at the top of his stem. Alizé Mack is a guy you and I have both seen up close. This kid moves really, really well. So the kid from Notre Dame. I think when you look at this tight end group, a lot of really impressive athletes that I think will have the opportunity to really help themselves. You know, we talk about Dawson Knox. You know, he could have been my workout warrior in any other year if we're not talking about a guy like Noah Fant. But this is a kid who's never caught a touchdown in his college career. I mean, I think he finished his career with under 40 catches in three seasons. So, you know, was not very productive at all in a pass-heavy offense. You would think, you know, with how much Ole Miss has thrown the ball the last 2 years when he was the starter, he would almost catch a touchdown by accident. But the ball just didn't bounce his way in a lot of different opportunities. So, you know, I think when you look at Knox, the upside is very, very high. And he's not just a pass catcher, even though he did line up in the slot a lot. They lined him up in line. He lined him up as a wing. He put in the backfield at times. I mean, he was used a lot of different ways as a blocker. I'm really intrigued by Dawson Knox. You know, even though the production was not always there, I think that he's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, and the only other point I wanted to make, I need to watch more Hockenson because everybody seems to love him, so I'm looking forward to that. The point I was going to make about Deontay Johnson, I don't know the wide receiver from Toledo. I don't know if he's a workout warrior or not, Fran, but, like, he tore up Miami when they played the Hurricanes, not Miami, Ohio, like the Hurricanes. He tore them up. He really is a special player, and I'm looking forward to seeing – you know, how he kind of goes through this process. Before we get to the O-line, I do want to make sure everybody listening, whether they're going to place a wager on the draft and where guys might go or whatever, or if you're getting into the AAF, which we're going to talk about in depth on today's Fantasy Feast podcast with Evan Silva and Ian Hartitz, make sure you are making those bets over at betonline.ag. Using the promo code podcast1. They give you a 50% welcome bonus when you go there. So you put $100 in, they'll throw another $50 into your account, and you can bet on NBA or college hoops or AAF. Certainly makes the AAF games even more interesting than they already are. Again, it's betonline.ag, and the promo code is podcast1. Fran, let's get to the big boys. And who fits some of your categories along the offensive line?
Yeah, we'll look at the workout warriors. And I think when you look in the offensive line, a few guys stand out. Number one, Andre Dillard from Washington State. I know on Daniel Jeremiah's Move the Sticks podcast, there was a discussion a couple weeks ago. I think it was when he was talking with Bruce Feldman, you know, from The Athletic, that Dillard was going to run really, really well. And that doesn't shock me, you know, watching him on film, a guy that I think is a really smooth athlete. A few other guys, Titus Howard from Alabama State, I think is going to test really, really well, especially for a guy who's over 320 pounds. This kid is a former option quarterback in high school. He was a tight end when he first got to campus there at Alabama State. They moved him to O-line, and you know he's added like 80 pounds of muscle, 90 pounds of muscle since that point. Looks great in person, you know, and I think is going to test very, very well. So Titus Howard is a guy that I think will look really good at this event. Chuma Adoga from USC. Had a really good Senior Bowl week, and then, you know, I think here at the Combine, I think you're going to see his athleticism show up as well. The guy that I put as my stopwatch shocker, he was, to me, was one of the most athletic guys that I watched on film on the offensive line all season long. So people that I think have studied him may not be too surprised by this, but you're not really hearing much about it. It's Drew Samia from Oklahoma. He's the right guard there. I think a three-year starter there at right guard, and he started his career at right tackle. Really just a natural athlete. Looks outstanding on the move, you know, and whether he's used as a puller, just getting up to the second level in the zone run game, the screen game, which we know Oklahoma is all about. Samia is a really, really impressive athlete. So those would be the offensive linemen that I think will test really well. Garrett Bradbury from NC State, I'd probably throw into that list as well. A lot of really talented offense. This is a great offensive line class. I think overall when you're talking about some top-end talent, but then also some depth, there are going to be some interesting options, I think, at all three days of this draft, because you know, the more you dig into it, the more you see there's a lot of talent, more so than most years, I would think.
Anybody else that you need to talk about along the O-line?
You know, I think, look, we talked about the Juwan Taylor and Jonah Williams comparisons last week. You know, I think Juwan Taylor, you know, to me, look, you're checking a lot of boxes with him. He's got outstanding size, strength to anchor down, power to displace guys one on one. He destroys people on double teams, and he's got light feet for a guy who's almost 340, 350. I mean, we'll see what he weighs in at, but he's got really light feet. So this is a kid that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, a DJ Fluker or someone where it's like, oh yeah, he's got outstanding size, but you know, I'm not sure how athletic he is. He might have to move to guard. To me, Juwan Taylor, you know, like this is a big-bodied kid with really light feet, dancing bear traits to play either right or left. He does have a couple starts on his resume on the left side, even though it's mostly been at right tackle. I look at Juwan Taylor as a guy that should be able to play very early in the NFL. Once he gets, especially if he gets with the right O-line coach, I think he's going to play relatively early. And then Jonah Williams, to me, is a guy who's very, very polished. He's got outstanding technique. He just doesn't have the tools that that Juwan Taylor has. He's not as big. He's not as powerful. He's not as strong, the ability to kind of anchor down there. So I think when you look at those two guys, that's kind of the difference. Williams, just a more polished player, does have extensive experience at both right and left tackle. Some people think he's a guard. Some people think he could move into center because of that size. I think one of the big things, and if you're going to talk about a most approve, one of the biggest measurements of the week is going to be, what is Jonah Williams' arm like? That's going to be one of the biggest numbers to come out of the combine week. So, Jonah Williams, his ability to come in with 32-plus inch arms is imperative if you're going to talk about him as an offensive tackle. That's going to be the big thing there. In terms of other players, I mean, really, I've put down as my pro comparison. I'll see what you think about this after you study him. Eric McCoy, the center from Texas A&M, a junior who declared for the draft, was eligible for the Senior Bowl, so I saw him in person in Mobile. To me, when I watched him, he kind of reminded me of Ryan Kelly coming out of Alabama. Not as good as Kelly was, but I think just a very well-rounded player, fairly athletic, pretty technically sound. He had some strength. He had some power. Kind of, one of those, good across the board, maybe not great in any one area. I don't think that McCoy's going to go in the first round like Kelly did, but I think he'll probably be a day two pick and a guy that could start relatively early in his career. I was pretty impressed with that kid when I saw him in person and also on film.
I love it, Fran. We are prepped now for the offensive dudes for the combine. Next week we will get prepped for the defensive dudes at the combine to make sure we are all set. You will be there checking everything out, interviewing more players, our man on the scene, Fran Duffy. Check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Obviously, Fran's got the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, Journey to the Draft podcast. Your best bet is to follow him on Twitter so you can see everything he's got going. For right now, though, the keg is kicked and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.